Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Good morning. Yes, we are here. Kale and Company News Live, sponsored this morning by D&K Appliances on this Wednesday hump day morning, February the 12th. In the news, yes, we are learning more about this Philadelphia officer shot in the line of duty, doing well this morning, recovering after being shot, and some of the details from Philadelphia Police as the Philadelphia Police Commissioner was speaking out about this, as well as Mayor Sherelle Parker speaking out about it, grateful that the officers involved are okay and the one shot doing well this morning in the hospital. But it all started 39th Police District. Police officers tried to pull over a car last night, 200 block of Lehigh Avenue, and then the suspect fled that scene, crashed later right near North 23rd Street, and the officers were in the area again trying to intervene. Gunshots rang out, so the officers never opened fire. This was a suspect, they say, that opened fire upon them, shooting the one officer, striking him in his right arm, and or in his hand or his arm. He was taken by his partner to Temple, but they realized as well that another bullet penetrated, you know, shattered the windshield, and as well did not fully penetrate through his bulletproof vest, so perhaps saving his life, because obviously it was, you know, struck into his chest, perhaps his heart. That's what we're learning from the officers as we get details. But that officer reported in good condition, Temple University Hospital. So that's, thank goodness for that. I believe they're going to try to discharge him this morning. I'll watch for that one. 10 years on the job. But in this case, the suspect, who was later apparently took his own life, shot himself.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Kind of a bizarre. So we'll learn more about who is that suspect.
Right.
And I suspect that they'll have a...
What justice did he not want to face?
Yeah, right?
I'm guessing, shot on file.
I'm guessing he wasn't a choir boy.
Yeah.
No. No. Just some guy who couldn't take life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Wouldn't surprise me, and I'm obviously just speculating here, if maybe there was a murder he committed, or a rape, or domestic assault, or, you know, so this, I find it hard to believe that this guy was, you know, even if he had a track record and a rap sheet, hard to believe that you would take your own life if it was merely because you were fearful of running a red light or failing to brake or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's well put. I mean, and we'll get those details, no doubt. In Pennsylvania here, we're getting some more details about Pennsylvania history teacher Mark Fogel, freed by Russia after a deal. I'm playing that on the cut sheet early edition this morning.
Yeah.
Incredible last night. And this was, I'll point out to you, this is at this point, this was, well, President Trump was giving a tour of the Lincoln bedroom to Mr. Fogel less than 8 hours ago. You think about that. Long day for Trump. But this is Mark Fogel from Pennsylvania, American school teacher, was held in Russia since 2021, and he arrived back home in America and then was taken to the White House, where they held this impromptu photo op. The press was there. It was incredible, as he had a flag draped over his shoulders.
Mm-hmm. We can play the clip again in 1 second, but just think about this. That happened at like 11 o'clock last night.
Mm-hmm.
Biden would have been in his second REM sleep by
yes.
that point. It was, you know what I mean?
That's a great point. He would have been wrapping up his hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut 23 here, Phil. This is where Trump said that he promised his 95-year-old mother, who, as Dawn said, he met at a rally and promised her that he would get her boy home. Roll it.
He's got a great mother. And when I saw the mother at a rally, she said, if you win, will you get my son out? And I promise, she's 95 years old. And I said, we'll get him out. And we got him out pretty quickly.
She told me that exact words.
I remember. And, she made quite an impression.
And you also did.
Yeah.
And I'm in awe of what you've done. And your team.
It's great to have you back.
I'm wondering, at a rally, I wonder if it was possible that she attended the Butler rally.
Probably not. I'm assuming it would be, you know, Because I don't.
Did he rally in Pittsburgh? I know he's been to Pittsburgh, yeah, obviously, but I didn't know if he had a rally in
Pittsburgh. I don't know if it was Pittsburgh proper. It might have been around the burbs. You know what I mean? By the way, speaking of Pittsburgh, I'm one of our sister stations, KDKA, their afternoon show host, Colin Dunlap, had the sister. It was the sister
and
on.
Then the mom they had, too.
Oh, they had, yeah. I mean, they're, you know, it's funny, Dawn, I was telling Nick, I'm doing a secret project for Odyssey right now, so I'm listening a lot to KDKA, and I listened to this live as it happened yesterday, and I was like wow, this is a good get for them, because this is local to them. This is just a little bit when he had his sister on. Roll it.
And I'm going to turn it over to you, because I don't want to get in the way. It's your day and your family's day. I say Mark Fogel is out, you're his sister. Your reaction is what, Ann?
Thank you so much, Colin. I can't even explain the crazy excitement that we were all feeling. This has been a long and coming, and we're so relieved. And this has been going on for the past week, and just waiting and waiting. He was moved out of Rybinsk last Wednesday, and we hadn't heard from him. And we were getting texts from different Russians, and it was just a crazy ride.
Wow,
that's amazing. I mean, just amazing. Not what she was saying. Just amazing that a Pittsburgh station can get an FM stick for Colin. But Kale and Company doesn't get an FM stick. Yeah. I'm just saying. No, what a tremendous story. I mean, 3.5 years. I don't know how. So much respect for, I mean, whether it's Russia, whether it's with, you know, these terrorist radical nut jobs in Hamas. You know, I don't like getting COVID. Yet these people live for 3.5 years. I mean, and to me, the follow-up to the first clip that we played earlier of Mark Fogel needs to be, and I don't know if this is in like a debriefing, if this is from, you know, a public media availability. I want to know what he was injected with. What? Yeah. Why is he in a hospital receiving over 400 injections? And I can't imagine it's for his benefit, right? Like, I don't think he came down with COVID and the Russian doctors were treating him. Highly doubt it.
Yeah, I have no. When he said that, you know, at that late night news conference, I don't think they fully know. So he was going to go. He'll get medical exams.
Sure.
I think at Joint Base Andrews, they did have a doctor there, kind of checking him out preliminarily before. Then they moved over to the area for the White House photo op.
I just love the fact that he's been free for 8 hours and he's already has a beer in his hand. What a legend.
Was that a beer? I thought it was Diet Dr. Pepper.
I did too, but there's something, it says something city. I think they got him maybe like a hometown brew.
Nice.
From the Pittsburgh area.
Can you roll cut 22, Phil? Thank you, buddy. Phil working overtime for me, and I appreciate that. Go.
I feel like the luckiest man on earth right now. And I want you to know that I am not a hero in this at all. And President Trump is a hero. These men that came from the diplomatic service are heroes. The senators and representatives that passed legislation in my honor to get me home are the heroes. I am in awe of what they all did. My family has been a force. I think my 95-year-old mother is probably the most dynamic 95-year-old on earth right now. And I am so indebted to so many people. I think I remember a Churchill quote that he said when the RAF was fighting the Luftwaffe, and he said that never have so many owed so much to so few. And I put myself, fortunately and unfortunately, into that category. And I said, never has one owed so much to so many. That this super organism of people that came to my support and the love that I was given sustained me for 3.5 years. in a prison that had me in hospitals for more than 100 days.
Wow.
I was given more than 400 injections.
Wow.
In that time.
Oh, boy.
And knowing I had the support of my fellow Pennsylvanians, my family, my friends, it was so overwhelming that it brought me to my knees and it brought me to tears, but it was my energy, it was my being that kept me going that whole time.
Well, you can take it to the bank, I think, if he wants it, and he's smart enough, and I think he is, history teacher, the book deals, the movie deals, yeah. The Netflix special, oh, it's all coming for him.
Iron City beer was what was in his hand. Apparently it was confirmed earlier. I don't know.
Yeah, it tracked down. I need an Iron City.
People in this chat are just so
you
like,
guys are
you don't great. Know, you don't know that. Sorry. Okay.
Fogle's mom, 95-year-old Malfine Fogle, had been critical of former President Biden as well as his administration for the delay in designating her son as, quote, wrongfully detained. And that is what made it difficult then to get him free.
It's interesting because in the interview that Colin Dunlap from KDKA did with a sister, she said that they were not hopeful that their mother, who's 95, was going to see her son released before she died.
Because he was serving, 14 years?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, I can't, like, I'm so happy for this family. Yeah. So happy for this
family. Diehard Steeler guy. And then my sources told me Trump told him that the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And he said, send me back. I can't. They've been there twice since I was gone.
Those damn Yinzers.
Damn Yinzers.
I'll just briefly say this, that we, as far as our snow totals overnight, if you're just getting up, there's still some travel restrictions on area highways, state run and the interstates and so on to 45 miles an hour. In Delaware, in the state of Delaware, 7.5 inches is the, and in Kent County, we have Sussex County, 8.5 inches. Newcastle, only 3 inches. So quite a disparity. Pennsylvania, it looks pretty much like across Philadelphia, Chester, Montgomery County, 3 inches. Delaware County got a little bit more, 4 inches. I don't have the official for Bucks, but I'm assuming it's in the 3 to 4 inch range. And obviously in New Jersey, you're looking at Atlanta County, 8 inches. Cape May County, as we predicted, 8 inches. But then Mercer County, only 2 inches.
And the Lehigh Valley and like lower Bucks. Is that lower Bucks or upper Bucks? Whatever. That's right before
Quakertown?
Yeah.
That'd be upper Bucks.
That's, they got like 1 inch.
Isn't that weird?
And I think up by, you know, where my parents are and Nick, where, you know, your family is, I think it's, they got nothing.
It's amazing.
But they're supposed to get stuff on Saturday.
Good. No,
we're only supposed to get rain. They're supposed to get stuff on Saturday.
Good. Let them get hammered. I'm done with the snow.
Well, and then the weird thing is rain comes in tomorrow, so we might have a wintry mix tomorrow morning.
What's the weather going to be for the parade on Friday?
It'll be brisk, 39 degrees, but sunny skies.
Okay.
So it's really Friday, if you look at the forecast, it's really the only day without, you know, precipitation. So today we're clearing it. You know, today's only 36 degrees and cloudy, as it was, you know, you could say it was still snowing or precipitating this morning. Tomorrow, 50 degrees for the high. What?
Road Warrior says, this is BS. I demand snow equity. Snow equity. Sorry.
So, yeah, the only day of the week through Sunday is really is Friday, the parade day, thank goodness. So it'll be brisk. It'll be, like I say, 38, 39 degrees.
You
but
and Borowski,
at least it'll be sunny.
You and Borowski better wear your long johns.
I know.
So are we going to go to Dawn on location for news Big Threes?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, she's going to be a part of the show down at the parade. We'll have Dan wandering to talk to the crazies that are going to sleep overnight and wear diapers so they don't lose their place in line.
All right. Well, we both got what we wanted. Dawn wanted to be out there.
Yes.
And I wanted to be right here in the studio.
Well, I want to.
You guys come out.
I want to do local coverage, anchored coverage. So, Kale, I might ask you to stay a little while longer, just, you know, so we could all. Dom will be there. It's going to be a, you know, it's going to be a cool. whole. It's going to be a whole radio station event.
Okay.
So just, you know.
Well, as long as I don't have to go outside.
Don't go running out the door like you always do at 9:57.
Well, because the parade, you know, the parade starts, and it'll be south by the sports complex area, right? And then that'll be 11 a.m., but the actual program, quote-unquote, is not until, you know, by the time the parade gets in, it'll be like 2 o'clock-ish.
Yeah, it's a long day for Sandlin.
We're going to be fired up. We're going to have so much fun. I hope you come down early.
It also, it just dawned on me that we're going to be, no pun intended, we're going to be back at the site of where we had the Kale & Company flag with Chris Wallace's nephew. Jimmy Matthews from Bluebell.
Yeah.
Should we have? I don't even know who has the flag right now.
Tom and Perkasy, I think.
I think Tom needs to come down and do a flag handoff and maybe wave that bad boy.
Great idea. I lost track of it since the live broadcast. I don't know who has it.
Well,
now.
We were supposed to do the swap at the gun range, and whoever was supposed to pick it up never made it. It was Ray from Warminster.
Yeah. So did somebody steal our flag?
I don't know.
No, it's in good hands.
We got to put like a tracker on that thing.
That's a good idea.
And for the first time in 1210 WPHT history, when we have a live coverage of the parade, we will have three actual Eagles fans doing the parade coverage.
E-L-E-S, Eagles!
By the way, she redeemed herself. Did you guys see that last night?
Was she able to spell world champions correctly?
Cut 16.
We took her live yesterday.
Oh, good, good. Cut 16. That's not her. There we go.
That's not her. That's not Tracy Morgan.
Great cheerleader.
How do you spell Eagles to me? I spell it NFLCHAMPIONS.
No, you still got it wrong. She still got it wrong.
Why?
Nobody calls them NFL champions, Super Bowl champions, NFL champions.
Nobody wants to sit here and have her spell the whole Super Bowl.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, due to time constraints.
She just could have said champions. That would have been. But she was adorable, and we got good information. It was great.
By the way, how
swoop behind her?
How thick are those lenses that she has?
I know, I need contacts.
I mean, she might give Jimmy Kelly a run.
Yeah.
Some people can't wear contacts. So just real quick here, mm-hmm. because today, as the flurries make their way out, cloudy day today, 36 degrees. But remember that system, there's another system waiting in line. The wintry mix, likely northwest of I-95, and then transitions to rain. So that takes us into tomorrow, Thursday. So when we drive in tomorrow morning, we'll be dealing with that wintry mix in the morning early. But then it gives way. It's going to be 50 degrees for the afternoon.
Good.
But they didn't want to risk it and have the parade tomorrow because of the rain timing. Yep.
They should have had it on Saturday.
No, Friday. I think there's another front coming. So Friday's the only day, like I say.
Oh, Saturday.
38 degrees and sunny for Friday. But Saturday, the next storm arrives with a wintry mix.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? So Friday really was the only day. And then Sunday, here's the weird thing. Sunday, 56 degrees.
No wonder why everybody's sick.
Beautiful.
Up and down, up and down. We got to do the sponsor really quick here for you. Kale and Company News Live, sponsored by D&K Appliances, family-owned and operated, and offers industry-leading brands like Bosch and GE Profile, Speed Queen. Oh, we got to talk. You know what? We got to talk about Trump saying he's going to lift these restrictions. With Speed Queen, like 35 minutes for the dishwasher wash machine. I'm so excited. Like, that's like women's rights right there.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
my dishwasher takes like 3.5 hours.
Ridiculous.
I know.
It's like, we just had a, you know.
My wife doesn't let me load it.
Well.
I just had a bagel on this. Why do I need it to clean for 3.5 hours?
Yeah. She's like, you know, you could fit like 7 more things in there. That's I'm like, fine. Well, then why don't you do it?
Yeah. And then you get all mad. Oh, you redid it anyway. Yeah.
She's the master of trying to fit 7 pounds into a 5 pound bag, and she can pull it off.
All right.
I call her a professional smush artist. Smusher.
So as soon as Trump lifts these restrictions, I'm going to D&K Appliances. But seriously, I was mentioning Speed Queen, KitchenAid, Sub-Zero, and more. Their staff are local experts guiding you through all the sales, delivery, installation, all the services they provide. Just visit them, D&K Appliances in Newtown Square, as well as Flower Town right by me, or DK, and right by Nick too. They're DKAppliances.com. That's DKAppliances.com. I'm very excited about this sponsor.
Very good.
They're
there
like
you go.
Right by my house. Kim Company News Live.
Right by my house. All right, coming up next, last big story of the day before we get to Tony Bruno and the cut sheet. It includes DEI, no more with Disney. Stay tuned. We're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You've heard me talk about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding for years now. You know I love the work they've done in my home. You know by now if I needed new windows, doors, siding, I'd only trust the Chapman family team. What you may not realize, or you may not know this, Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, yeah, they can replace your old roof, too. Yes, they have that covered literally for you. Family-owned and operated, Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. They've been around for more than 30 years now. Mike and Mark Chapman, two brothers, started the business for themselves, and now the business has grown along with their family, along with the community. They have more than 240 Google reviews, which speak volumes about their reputation for high-quality workmanship and customer service. They spend the time to understand your needs and educate you on all your options. They also have financing available right now, which you can leverage to make your new, get your new roof or all the other remodeling projects a reality. Whether you are somebody you know, maybe you're looking for the new roof, windows, doors, siding, shutters, just give them a call. You can text them. They're listening right now, like-minded, 610-431-8898, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Take that virtual tour, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I really thought that once Trump won the election, and, you know, he didn't make it a big part of his 2024 platform. Obviously, he was focused on the meat and the potatoes, and that's what I think Trump does very, very well. Economy, borders, war, energy, things like that. And amongst his 20 bullet point platform agenda for 2024 was ending the absurdity that is DEI. But he doesn't delve into the culture wars a ton. Not nearly as much as a guy like Ron DeSantis does, or Glenn Youngkin in Virginia and things like that. And I thought last week was really telling when Google, of all places, came out and started dismantling and tearing down a lot of the DEI nonsense. And now, within the last 24 hours, we have Doge slashing $101 million and canceling 29 DEI training grants within the Department of Education. We have PBS closing their DEI office and announcing that diversity officers are leaving in response to Trump's executive orders. And then the big shoe dropped yesterday as Disney makes changes to their DEI programs and rebrands their employee groups. I just did a quick search during the break. Wanted to see what Disney's stock price is. They are currently at $109 a share. They're down about 0.25% since 2 days ago. But now, Axios reports the following, that Disney is changing its diversity, equity, and inclusion programs to focus more closely on business outcomes. Well, geez, what a novel concept. You're ditching optics and quotas and checking boxes and returning back to a bottom line approach to running your business. What is the outcome of the product and the content that we are creating for families? Novel concept. Surprised it took until 2025 for them to realize that. An internal memo went out to employees yesterday in which Axios obtained it. They say as part of this shift, sources tell Axios that Disney is moving and changing the content disclaimers that it started releasing around certain titles in 2020, which is when a lot of this DEI stuff went into overdrive, George Floyd, the 2020 election, and then having this shoved down our throats for the last 4.5 years. And they say, Axios, the big picture here, the changes, while less dramatic than those introduced by other Fortune 500 companies in recent weeks, speak to the pressure that brands face trying to adjust to the new expectations in the second Trump era. They also take a little bit of a deeper dive here where they say, beginning in this fiscal year, Disney will replace the diversity and inclusion performance factor that it used to evaluate executive compensation with a new talent strategy. The new talent strategy factor includes concepts from its old diversity and inclusion factor, but is more focused on how values drive business success. They're also ditching their controversial Reimagine Tomorrow initiative, which had a corresponding website, which was used to highlight stories and talent from underrepresented communities. The site, which came under fire from conservatives, was replaced externally in December by an updated hub on Disney's corporate website. They say, lastly, the entertainment giant is removing the autoplay content advisory disclaimers that run before some of their older titles on Disney Plus, like Dumbo and Peter Pan, that warn viewers that the film could include negative depictions and or mistreatment of people or of communities and cultures that have experienced trauma in decades past. When I saw this, I immediately thought about ESPN as well. If I'm ESPN and I'm adhering to what the company is telling me to do, which ESPN is a Disney-owned and operated property, ditch the DEI stuff. Get back to merit-based decision-making, merit-based hiring, merit-based promotion. Enough of trying to be like the Crayola crayon box of 64 different crayons where they all look different. Just give me the most talented people. If that's, and I'm just looking at it from a broadcast standpoint here on the ESPN side of things, because I, you know, I came from a sports background. If you have a panel that you're trying to fill out for a football broadcast or a basketball broadcast, give me the five best people. I don't need a white guy, a black guy, an Asian lady, a transgendered LGBT community member, and then a traffic cop steering the whole show, right? Like, we all realize what they're doing here. If it's five black people, if it's five women, if it's five dudes, give me the best people to represent the content that you're trying to create. The same thing with all of these reboots now. You know, these Peter Pan movies, these, not Marvel, that's not Disney, but any of these, you know, big blockbuster
Marvel's
productions.
Disney. Yeah.
Is Marvel Disney?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not a Marvel fan, so I didn't know if that fell under that umbrella. Yeah. But just give me the best content. And from a family perspective, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but we did Disney before my kids. We did Disney in 2017, and we've done it once. We did it in 2021 when my sister got married. So we have done Disney three times, me and my wife, twice with my girls. We might do it one more time before my girls graduate high school, and then they're no longer my liability or responsibility. And not that I'm tracking those days or those dollars. But I don't want to be inundated with social and political commentary when I'm walking around Epcot Center and we're going into something that's, well, it's not the way it was. It's not the way I recall it when I was a kid. Like, it's supposed to be the happiest place on earth. It's not the happiest place on earth anymore because it's super, super expensive. By the way, the Wall Street Journal has a great report on how middle-class families cannot afford to do the Disney trip anymore.
It's 10 grand just to, you know, for a family of four.
Right. So if I'm going to save up for it, you damn sure better believe that I don't want to be clobbered over the head with social commentary or political commentary. Well, so I think this was inevitable, Dawn.
I think, when was it? I told you guys when my stepdaughter and her husband and their three little ones went, was it 2 years ago or maybe it was a year ago? And they did not experience any of this woke stuff. They said, ladies and gentlemen, and they didn't see anything that was as far as political or anything of that nature, which they were relieved about. But as far as everything going a la carte, and that's with Stacia, because Larry and I, we love Disney. And it breaks my heart to see all this happen. I hope both of you, I mean, your daughters are what, 10?
Yeah.
Or 10? And Greg, for you and Stephanie and your little one, it is this magical place.
It's a bucket list item. You have to do it. You have to do it at least once with kids, right?
It is so much fun.
I have no interest in it because it's landlocked. I want to be able to relieve myself in the ocean.
Oh,
right? I'm sorry, the water rides don't do it for me.
Oh, boy. You can, you know.
Orlando's a hellhole, too, by the way.
It is not.
Concrete jungle of humidity. If it wasn't for Disney, Orlando would be broke.
You're 100% right about that.
I will warn you, because this will, for Nick Cale, the Magic Kingdom is dry. So Safariland, the amber beer,
yeah,
it's like fantastic.
Right.
You can walk around with
the
it.
The problem that I've seen with Disney, and again, I haven't been there in many, many, many years. I'm sure I'll go in the next couple of years. But the problem now is that there's a billion parks, and you have to, like, you have to buy tickets for all of them. Now, like, Harry Potter has one place, and now they're opening another place, but you can't get into that one. You have to buy an extra ticket for this one. Star Wars is another thing. The Disney is another thing. Universal, Epcot. It's all, like, these giant... Like, I mean, come on, what are we doing here?
Well, to your point, as far as the expenses go, the Wall Street Journal says for a two-parent family with two young children, so family of four, the typical four-day visit is now $4,266. That does not include hotels. That does not include flights, obviously food and beverage, gifts. There's no way. I'm telling you,
10 grand.
Right. How are you getting out for under 10 grand? If you can pull it off for 7,500, then maybe you should work for Doge and help balance the budget for this country.
Yeah, I do think to your point, and that was, you know, Stacia had said that they had budgeted for it. You know what I mean? And they actually took one of their grandmoms and this and that. But they just were kind of had sticker shock, because even though they had budgeted, and there are books written about this, when to go, how to save.
Mm-hmm.
But they did not expect, because Stacia, we've gone over the years. So she said, even just for the past couple of years, they have gone to this a la carte situation where everything is your hit for everything.
Yeah.
It used to be you could buy these different food passes, you could buy the speed passes, you could buy the whole package, and now it's just everything is just nickel and diming you the whole way through.
And they say, with the cost being just under $4,300, that it's up $1,000 from 5 years ago. So we're talking about a 20% inflation since the pandemic just to go to Disney.
Susie Loves Jeff says we spent $10K over 10 years ago. So, yeah, I'm guessing, because I don't go anywhere cheap. Like, I find good hotels and I make sure we go to nice restaurants. So, like, I'm probably on the hook for this in the next couple of years for 15, 18 grand.
Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion? Because
Blow your raise?
No, they need to. They should sponsor some trips and have us broadcast from there. And you could take
Station down the hall does.
Yeah.
But we should do that, because
that's what Bill does every
they
3 months.
Get conservatives back experience it.
You're not wrong about that, Dawn. They tried to last year, or was it last year or the year before, when they did that Disney trip for us, for our listeners here. They tried to do that a little bit. But I do agree with you that if they want this, you know, our people back, then they need to, then they should.
Kale and Company News Live, live from Disney.
Yeah.
Have a whole contingency we could take. Bus ride down. It would be fun. Epcot is so much fun.
Mark Fogel and I walking around drinking beer.
Nick will be like, let me tell you why Disney's woke. Yeah. And then it'll blow the entire trip.
Epcot's the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite.
It is. All right. So there you go. Disney with DEI. Put them in the same category with Google and all of these other companies falling in line.
What?
Chris Eppolito says, we've decided to have food and shelter, so no more Disney for us.
I chose to pay my electric bill this month, and we passed on Disney.
Yeah. If we did like a big, like one of those coach buses, did a bus ride down there with a group, like Kale and Company, you know what I mean? Like
a bus ride to Florida?
Yes.
It would take 3 days to get there?
Like one of those big coach buses, and like go on the bus.
Now you guys take the bus.
Take a road trip.
I'll take the Odyssey private chartered flight, and I'll meet you down there.
We could broadcast from the, it'd be fun.
Road Warrior would ride his bike there.
Road Warrior says, I will not watch that week unless Dawn wears a Jasmine costume.
Ooh, Jasmine. Okay, just for you.
Oh.
I'll wear the Jasmine costume.
Jasmine.
Are you calling me a cheap trick?
I love... The greatest audience at radio.
Yes, you are.
All right. Let's get to Tony Bruno, shall we? Speaking of Florida, he's been to Disney many times. We'll talk to Tony Bruno as he joins us for the Cut Sheet, and that is coming up next here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, and thank you for joining me today, as Tiger Woods once said after that news conference when his wife hit him with a 9-iron or something back in the day.
My wife tried to hit me with a 7-iron last night, but I had my head on a swivel, so I was good, Tony Bruno.
By the way, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see that I've fully transitioned now. So I've got my Eagles Super Bowl hat on, and then I have my Phillies spring training jersey on. So we're now, it's like, you know, when you change the clock, you're going from football season to baseball spring training in Clearwater starting later this week, baby.
You're like some of the individuals we highlight on the cut sheet from the Libs of TikTok. You don't know what you are. What are your pronouns, Eagles / Phillies?
By the way, speaking of pronouns, I have declared now that pronouns, if you're a member of the media or a politician and you have pronouns in your bio, you should be publicly shamed. Yeah. Am I wrong?
Shamed.
Shame. 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 Shame.
Help me understand this.
Yeah. All right, 7:51. Let's get to it. It's time for What's on the Cut Sheet.
Yeah. What's
Cut Sheet is live.
Yeah, baby.
The Cut Sheet.
You know what's on the Cut Sheet on this Wednesday, sponsored by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Their recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent at Robert Half. They know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. roberthalf.com/talent today. Thank you for sponsoring the ever-important Wednesday edition, Snowy Wednesday. Tony, I don't know if you know this. We got 3 to 4 inches last night here.
Well, so did Robin. But, I mean, you know, hey, what difference does it make at this point, as Hillary Clinton once said?
So did Robin.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. All right, let's start.
Mangle Mush is right. I'm partially transitioned. See, I got the Eagles hat on because... Right. You know, the Eagles were on Fallon last night.
Yep.
So they're getting their week of accolades. Speaking of Disney, you were talking about, we saw, you know, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And my buddy who runs that, who used to be the boss at ESPN, he's the guy that grabs the MVP and gets them to do that. What are you going to do now? You just won the Super Bowl MVP. And then he says, I'm going to Disney World. So they do that right after the game, mm-hmm. and then they take the whole family. And so he never came back to Philly. Jalen went right to Disney, and it was—I don't know if you saw the video. It was awesome. Yeah. So many Eagle fans there.
Yeah, we have we have some of the Eagles. It was Saquon and Jalen Hurts, right? They were on with they were on with Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon last night. They made the smart move. They went to New York and stayed away from that idiot Colbert, you know, because he doesn't know whether a football stuffed or inflated on his show.
Yeah. Let's start. Start here, Phil, if you can, with cut 34. Oh, hang on. Let me just take this out. Let's start here with cut 34. Jimmy Fallon asked Jalen Hurts about the tush push and what they actually call it. Roll it.
The first one was doing what people are calling the tush push. yeah. Is that what you call it?
It's not what I call it.
It's not what you call it.
No.
what do you call it?
You know, I'm not going to say what I called it, but it's
okay. But it's not.
You know, everybody is came up with their own name for it. The brotherly shove, the tush push, all these different things. It's not that.
It's not that. No. Okay.
I was shocked too because when I got there, I known as the tush push, but I didn't know if that's what it'd be called. But I thought it was called that, and it's not called a tush push actually.
No. What is your role in the quote unquote tush push?
I think I have the easiest job, to be honest. I think I'm the one who pushes the tush.
Right.
That was so funny.
There's
a great line.
How about that?
That's a great line. And then it was the offensive line came out.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of surprised them, and they all chugged beers.
Yeah.
You want to see this?
Yes. By the way,
did
you see two things? Speaking of beer, Saquon Barkley, after they won the Super Bowl, shotgunned a beer in the locker room like a seasoned pro.
Oh, did he?
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
And then Landon
Dickerson.
Well,
he's a Penn Stater, man. He knows how to shotgun beers.
What else do you do in central Pennsylvania on a Saturday night but drink
exactly.
beer?
Exactly, exactly.
And then Landon Dickerson was drinking a beer while he was still hooked up to an IV bag.
Exactly.
Now, if that doesn't scream alcohol, I don't know.
No, I'm sorry.
E-L-E-S-E-S. Legal!
amazing. All right, let's roll the youtube.com/at1210WPHT if you want to see all this video. Don't worry, we have all the Elon Musk, we have all the Mark Fogel stuff. We played it a lot earlier, but we will get back into it in just a second. I just thought it would be fun to start with your Philadelphia Eagles on the Tonight Show last night. All right, roll it, Phil.
Impossible. America's team.
Yeah. Please welcome the starting offensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles, Lane Johnson.
Look at that.
Makai Becton and Jordan Mailata. Come on, bud.
You're all wearing the Eagles overalls.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, man.
Come on, buddy.
Congratulations. That's right. Come on.
So then they have beer set up there.
Yep.
I love you.
Are they already crying?
In honor of your Super Bowl win, I thought we'd all shotgun beers together.
Yeah.
That sound all right?
Yeah.
We can do this?
All right.
Let's see who looks like an amateur.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHT if you want to see this video.
I'm going to say Jalen's the amateur here.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know who can go the fastest, but all right, I'm going to try my best. All right. Congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles. One, two, three.
Landon Dickerson, pro. Cam Jurgens, solid. Yeah. Becton.
Jalen didn't even drink.
Yeah. He's the face of the franchise.
Does he not drink?
He's an elitist.
Take one, Murphy. Yeah. He's an elitist.
He ate one of the glass of cab.
Oh, he sprayed it on. He sprayed it on his on Dickerson. He sprayed it on Landon Dickerson's face.
Yeah. He did.
Yeah. There you go. That's a drop.
Who's the guy with the mullet? I love.
That's Cam Jurgens.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's the center, Cam Jurgens.
Yeah, that's amazing. Jason Kelsey's replacement.
Yep.
91 LSXer says, Greg, here comes Liz Warren to steal a beer.
No. Who seems more unnatural with a beer, Jalen Hurts or Liz Warren?
Come on, man. Jalen Hurts is the legit now. That's the best part of the whole thing of him winning. All these morons on national television. He's not an elite quarterback. He's not even in the top eight best quarterbacks that were in the playoffs. I'm glad he's finally getting the love. Get your name out. Get all these Nick Wright and Colin Cowherd and all these national guys.
Yeah.
You know, shove it, okay? Not push. Shove it.
Yeah. By the way, we will get to Elon Musk in the Oval Office yesterday with his son X.
Okay.
And Mark Fogel.
It's Lil X, by the way.
Lil X.
Not in, Little Nose Lil X, though.
In 1 second. No. But I wanted to start, since we're in the Philadelphia, PA area here, I wanted to start with Governor Shapiro was on with Stephen A. Smith on his podcast. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Yeah.
Tony, I know you're a huge fan of Josh from Abbey. By the way, Josh from Abington.
Absolutely. He's the best. By the way, has he commented yet on the full release?
Oh, no.
Have we heard from Josh Shapiro? I mean, Trump was in the Oval Office at 10:30 last night. Joe Biden was in his nursing home asleep for three hours. Where was Josh Shapiro commenting?
To be fair, I do think he released a statement.
Did he?
Don, can you back that up? Me.
You're friends with Josh.
No, back that thing up. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. You're asking Don to back that thing
no,
up.
No, I said, can you back me up?
Yeah, that's exactly.
I mean, I go both ways.
By the way, Josh Shapiro, Josh from Abington, called into our sister station.
Yeah, I was going to say he probably didn't have time to talk about Mark Fogel because he was talking to Gillio and Douglas about the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
All right, so he's on the Stephen A. Smith podcast talking about the Gaza proposal that Trump put out, and this is what he said. Roll it.
Unserious and unhelpful at this time. You still got about 100-ish hostages that aren't home. Why would you do anything to upset that process now? Why would you do anything like that that's going to make it harder for those loved ones to be able to wrap their arms around those hostages, get them back from Hamas's control? So I didn't think it was serious. Look, I get this guy. He likes to make a lot of noise. Mm-hmm. He likes to put a lot of stuff out there, throw a bunch of stuff up against the wall and see what sticks. And I'm sure we're going to talk more about that. I just thought this was both unserious and unhelpful at this time.
With that being said, how did you feel again about Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's response, which was pretty much nothing? I mean, it looked like he had glee on his face.
Yeah.
He certainly didn't seem alarmed or disturbed by what the president was saying. And what do you make of that?
I think Netanyahu's playing a short-term game. He's not thinking about the long-term interests of Israel. He's playing a short-term game to keep himself out of legal jeopardy, to keep himself in power with this really difficult coalition that he needs to be able to stay into power. I think if you're taking a long-term, sober look at Israel's safety and security, you need to figure out a way for the Palestinians to, look, drive Hamas out, drive terrorism out, of course, but have a stable home where they can focus on their economic goals.
I mean, there's two separate things there. We could talk about finding these people a permanent home, and right now, I don't know what the viable solution is, although at least Trump is providing an alternative. That being said, you're never going, this novel idea of a two-party state, it doesn't work. It will never work. It never has worked. You have to scrap that. But driving out terrorism, you're never going to eradicate terrorism. And this is whether, to me, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, Republican. It doesn't matter if you wage a full war or drone strikes. You can kill all these terrorists that you want. They just keep respawning. It's like the swamp.
By the way, how rich of Jim from Governor Shapiro to be criticizing what Trump's doing and not liking. Meanwhile, the Democrats are dropping F-bombs in public about Donald Trump, and he's in there, oh, you know, I know his game. I know how he's talking. Shut up, Josh. You're never going to be president. You're getting hammered every day by national people who know what you did in 2020, know what you did with the pandemic, know what you did in the case of the woman who you, your pals say was killed herself, and then they had to change it. Sit down. Shut your mouth up, sucker. That's what I say about Josh Shapiro.
And also notice this, too. Stark differences in responses to what Shapiro says about the future of the Middle East as a fellow Jew compared to his counterpart in Pennsylvania, who I actually think, and I keep saying it, and I'm going to continue to say it, I think Fetterman has a better chance of being president than Shapiro. Fetterman far more pro-Israel than what Shapiro was kind of alluding onto there. It seems to me, I don't know, Don, what you think, but Shapiro seems like he's kind of, he's straddling the fence still on the whole issue.
Yeah, he's a waffler.
He said, by the way, after he tweeted out or X'd out about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, after more than 3 years in Russian captivity, I join Mark Fogel's family, the federal partners, all the fellow Pennsylvanians, in welcoming Mark Fogel home exactly where he belongs. He did say thank you to those at the White House, who made his release possible.
Thank you, White House.
Yeah, by the way, his boy, Bob Casey, did nothing. And his other boy, Joe Biden, did nothing. And guess what? Dave McCormick, who replaced the incompetent career politician in the election, he was part of the delegation that tried to get, because he was there at when Trump went back to Butler and met the mom. That's what really started the whole thing.
July 13th, the original Butler.
Exactly.
Oh, you were
exactly.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
you
so
were correct.
She
what,
did
what,
not.
Was I?
So she was there. Cool. She was supposed to. She was scheduled to take the stage, but then the assassination attempt occurred, and thus it was before the J-13, before the assassination attempt, that actually Trump made the promise to Mrs.
Exactly.
Fogel.
I just
to a 95-year-old, 94-year-old woman. Trump promised her that he would get her son back home.
Well, that's why I was wondering, because Butler's not too far. I mean, it's an easy drive from Pittsburgh or Allegheny County
from.
To Butler.
Yeah,
and I don't think Trump actually I know he went to Pittsburgh because the Harris campaign did as well, but I don't think Trump actually ever held a specific rally in Pittsburgh.
Gotcha.
I think the closest he got was Butler.
Let's play this. Cut 23 here, Phil. This we played this a couple times this morning, but it's worth playing again for those of you who tune in late. Your kid might have a two-hour delay because, you know, there's 3 or 4 inches of snow and we don't know what to do.
I said on Monday everybody should just shut it down until next Tuesday because, you know, we got a long weekend.
It's
got Valentine's
true.
And then you got President's Day. Why bother going to work?
Yep.
I'm going to shut it down until April.
Trump commenting on Mark Fogel and his 95-year-old mother, roll it, Phil.
And when I saw the mother at a rally, she said, if you win, will you get my son out? And I promise, she's 95 years old. And I said, we'll get him out. And we got him out pretty quickly.
She told me that exact words.
I remember. And, she made quite an impression.
And you also did. Yeah. And I'm in awe of what you've done.
There you go.
It's really remarkable. We've talked about this a couple of times, Tony. I'll let you jump in. But Matt,
I've been listening. I was up at 4 o'clock this morning. I was having dreams that I was doing a talk show, a sports talk show, and not getting any calls. So that's what I
Well, those are dreams, Tony. We've lived those days. I'm blown away. I would actually like to hear Mark one more time. I don't know if anybody in this audience has picked up on it. Mark Fogle sounds exactly like Matt DeSantis.
What?
Yes.
Matt DeSantis?
Uh-huh.
No.
Oh, no, you disagree? No,
I disagree.
Okay. All right, anyway.
How dare you.
As long as he doesn't sound like Jared Fogle, because he's still on the slam.
And he's he's on the Subway diet.
How dare you insult Mark Fogle by comparing him to Matt DeSantis?
No, it's just the same last name. Come on, man.
I know. No, I was talking about Nick to Matt DeSantis.
Tag match. Matt and Ron DeSantis against Mark and Jared Fogle.
24. The press, of course, had to question the deal that was made. What did you give up? What did we give up? Are you Putin's puppet? 24, roll it.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this the start?
I think there's goodwill in terms of the war. You know, 1.5 million.
Phil, can you start it over again? Can you start it from the beginning?
Yeah, Putin's puppet. That will be the spin today. Pay attention to it.
There we go.
It's a constitutional crisis, after all.
Well, I don't want to say that. I just want to say that I appreciate very much what they did in letting Mark go home. And I appreciate Steve Witkoff. The job he did and Marco behind the scenes was unbelievable. And so many of these people were unbelievable. They represent him. They're from his area. We just wanted to get him back home. I had to get him back home because I would have big trouble with his mother. And we're going to take him for a little tour of the Lincoln bedroom, which nobody gets to see. And it's very special. Do you want to see it?
I would love to. And I also should make mention that President Putin was very generous and statesmanlike in granting me a pardon. I mean...
What were the terms of this deal, Mr. President?
Very fair. Very, very fair. Very reasonable. Not like deals you've seen over the years. They were very fair. And I think that's going to lead... And somebody else is being released tomorrow that you will know of. But we wanted to get this done, very important. And Steve wanted to actually fly over and get Mark and get him home properly because it could be a pretty tough trip.
So is this the beginning of a deal, sir? Is this the start?
I think there's goodwill in terms of the war. You know, 1.5 million soldiers, young people have been killed.
I've met many of them.
Yeah, and it's a terrible thing going on, so we want to get that done. I think this could be the... very important element. You could be a big part of it, actually, because it could be a big, important part of getting the war over with Ukraine. And we appreciate President Putin's what he did. He was able to pull it off for you, right? He was able to pull it off. We think, and you're here.
I'm here.
So it was great. We'll tell you a little bit more about it tomorrow, but I think we've made great progress on the war also. Getting the war, I want to get the war ended. That war should not have been. It would have never happened if I was president. It would not have happened, and it did happen, and now you have all blown up cities and dead people. So many dead people should have never, ever happened, and you could be a big catalyst for just this evening. It's a very important evening for ending that war, and I think they all want to see it ended.
I do want to know, and you know, hopefully we find out what the specifics are of this swap, so to speak. What are the details of the trade? Because we know when Biden was in office, it was Brittany Griner for Victor Boot, the Russian's arm dealer known as the Merchant of Death. So we'll see if we're giving up any terrorists or killers.
By the way, Schaefer on this stream on YouTube says, the 95-year-old mother still is more cognizant than Joe Biden. I mean, you know, Joe Biden's, what, 82 and a 95-year-old mother?
Yep.
You think Joe Biden is still at this hour aware that this hostage was released?
No, he doesn't know who Mark Fogel is.
By the way, speaking of his mother, his sister, Anne, was on our sister station, KDKA, in Pittsburgh on the Colin Dunlap show. And this was happening as the news was being released that Mark Fogel was being released, and you can hear the joy in her voice when she hears the news, kind of for the first time. Roll it.
And I'm going to turn it over to you because I don't want to get in the way. It's your day and your family's day. I say Mark Fogel is out. You're his sister. Your reaction is what, Ann?
Thank you so much, Colin. I can't even explain the crazy excitement that we were all feeling. This has been a long and coming, and we're so relieved. And this has been going on for the past week, and just waiting and waiting. He was moved out of Rybinsk last Wednesday, and we hadn't heard from him. And we were getting texts from different Russians, and it was just a crazy ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve Witkoff, Marco Rubio was the other guy that Trump was referring to when he said Marco, in case those who are trying to connect the dots, and a few others as
not
well.
Not Lil Marco. Lil Marco's, been in the past.
Yep.
This is, speaking of Lil Marco, he was on with Caitlin Collins last night. This is Cut 25, Phil, talking about the release of Mark Fogel from Russia. This is what he said. 25, go.
And Secretary Rubio, can you walk us through what was behind the decision to have Steve Witkoff, who we've seen playing a critical role in a lot of these foreign policy moments, go directly to Russia instead of a third party country? What should that tell us?
Well, he went to pick up Mark Fogel. I mean, that's where he was. So he went there to get him and bring him back. And we're grateful for his willingness to do it on his own airplane, on his own dime. You know, it's a great service to his country. And he's very talented. I mean, he's a very talented man, very savvy in business. And but he went over there to pick him up and bring him back. And we're grateful to him for his willingness to do it. He's a great asset to the team. And I just go back. Look, the president has made it a priority. He's been in office now for 3 weeks. He's made it a priority to bring back as many Americans who are overseas and detained. We've seen that focus. And I think this is a very positive thing. And look, I think it's good as well for our ability to communicate with Russia. I mean, we'd like to see this war in Ukraine come to an end, a fair peace, a just peace, an enduring peace. But obviously, you know, it's always good to see these things. They're not linked, but I do think it's a good sign that they're willing to be cooperative in this way. And obviously, it's a small step forward. They're not exactly linked together, but anytime an American's coming home, we should be excited about it. And we certainly are.
Yeah. Can you pause it there for a second? I mean, it's a great point. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, there's a lot of people. There was a screenshot that I saw last night of all the cable news outlets that were covering this. Shockingly, guys, I know you were shocked by this. MSNBC not covering it.
Of course not.
Did not cover it. Larry O'Donnell was interviewing somebody else. I don't know who.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's just no matter what your politics are, if you like Trump, if you don't like Trump, I mean, like, this is good news.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is good news when somebody like this comes home, a deal is struck. And I don't know who is poo-pooing this. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I just don't get it.
Yeah. And this is one of those things where, CNN at 10:41 Eastern, I think that was when we saw Trump, speaking mm-hmm. next to Fogel. I mean, they probably broke right into that Abby Phillip train wreck as Scott Jennings was destroying everybody and said, let's go to that.
Yep.
Rubio there is basically doing it on a Zoom on his
he
phone
because
some guy is still in the screenshot, like holding the phone up for
he's,
him.
He's literally holding the phone up for him. You have to see this.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Roll a little bit more of this. So.
It's coming home. We should be excited about it. We certainly are.
Yeah, this is the first time we've seen a senior U.S. official that we know of that has gone to Russia since 2021, I believe, since before Russia invaded Ukraine. So, Secretary Rubio, in your role, what does this mean, and what does this signal about what could be next for negotiating it into that war, which obviously President Trump has talked about at length?
Well, there's even as we speak, there are multiple people involved. You know, the vice president, the treasury secretary are in Europe. I'll be there later this week. Secretary Hegseth's in Europe now. So we'll be talking to our European allies. We'll be talking to the Ukrainians. I'll be meeting with them later this week. So will the vice president. I think the treasury secretary, Best, is always going to be meeting with them as well. So there's a lot to engage here. This is a difficult conflict. It's a complicated conflict. And it's not just about bringing an end to it. The president's made clear he wants to bring an end to it because there's a lot of people dying and a lot of destruction. But it's about a fair one, one in which Ukraine remains a country that's sovereign and independent. And we can bring an end to this, this very costly and destructive conflict. It's a long way to go between here and there. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah, there you go.
And those are the two big shoes to drop. Well, three, technically, if you want to throw in the Middle East. I mean, those are the three things now, because everything else Trump said he was going to do, he's doing. Now we are waiting domestically here in this country for the cost of things to get better. And then, of course, Russia, Ukraine, and the release of hostages, which Trump has said is Saturday at noon. I just need to know if that's noon Eastern or if that's 7 p.m. Eastern or 5 a.m. Eastern in America, because it's a 7-hour time difference.
I'm setting my clock anyway. I'm setting it for 5 a.m. Saturday morning.
You should
so I can watch the sunrise.
Yeah.
We're at 77 degrees right now at 8:15 a.m.
Stop.
On a beautiful,
can we
beautiful...
Just...
Well, if you
what up, Wes?
We could just sleep on your floor. We could do Kale and Company live from Bruno.
You said
sure. I mean, the house is the house is going up fast, kids.
Yeah,
and I'm telling you, by Memorial Day weekend, we'll be partying. In fact, I just found a band for my opening house party.
Yeah,
that couple that's in the store and the woman singing. Do you ever see that one? Somebody keeps running it.
Oh.
It's like a thrift store, and this woman's singing, and I think her husband's playing an organ.
There was a sing along at some protest for Elon
Musk. Oh yeah, no, not
yesterday.
That one. It's classic one.
Yeah,
the classic video that's all over YouTube is the woman singing.
Yeah,
it's about, and I forget what the song is, but it's a great song. I've hired them so nobody else could steal them for my opening
party. Was the Jay Giles band booked up?
we'll play that in 1 second. I just want to play Tony, because we've been playing Mark Fogel a lot this morning, but we haven't played this one. This is Cut 33, Phil. You just gave a phenomenal speech. You can hear the emotion in his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Roll Cut 33, Phil.
I'm a middle class school teacher who's now in a dream world.
We're going to show you the Lincoln bedroom.
He loves that bedroom.
A special place. Appropriate for tonight. Very appropriate.
And thank you all. And I love our country. And I'm so happy to be back here. And I wish I could articulate it better.
You've done beautifully. And he's got a great mother.
Yeah.
And when
you start drinking that Iron City beer, you'll articulate everything, brother. I'll tell you that right now. It's 7.5%.
Should have gone with Yingling.
How about him saying he pulled a Kamala right out of the gate? I'm a middle class teacher.
Yep.
Exactly.
History teacher. But he was fighting. I mean, he was struggling.
Yeah.
He was fighting back. You can't even imagine. He said it was surreal, but he was really fighting back the
tears. I wouldn't have made it. three and a half years there. Hospitals and injected over 400 times.
And what?
Well, that's close to how many times Joe Biden was injected over the last 4 years.
No. With Botox.
What was the big and we'll play Elon Musk in the Oval Office in 1 second. But Nick started out the big take. We started out the show this morning. Elon Musk, in a way to troll the news media, decided to change his Twitter handle last night. What did he change it to? Let's start with Dana Bash. Nick played this in the big tape. We're going to play it again. What did he change his Twitter handle to? Tell us, Dana.
Disruptor in chief, Elon Musk, who apparently has adopted the alias, at least he changed his social media handle to Harry Balls, tweeted this morning, democracy in America is being destroyed by judicial coup.
It's amazing.
You know, I don't care who gets mad. That will never not be funny.
I know.
I know.
Harry Balls.
You know, he did that just for that moment.
100%.
Let's go, Harry.
Yeah, he did it. He did it actually in the middle of the night yesterday.
Yeah.
3:40 a.m.
Yeah.
And then he changed it back later when he went to the Oval Office. But it's funny watching all these women on CNN and MSNBC talk about big balls, and Harry Balls.
So true.
And for all of the people that are offended.
No sweaty balls, though. Sweaty balls is coming later.
Or laser balls.
If you actually take the time to do a quick Google search, you will see that Harry Balz, B-O-L-Z, is a German artist.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, really?
It's not.
I did not know that.
He's obviously trolling, and Dumb Dumb on CNN took the bait. No wonder why John King divorced her. IQ of 5.
One of my worst moments early on in my career, and I literally said this, yes, I'm here at the 5th Police District where victims of assault are on their way to see if they can pick out Harry Cox, Harry Cox, out of a lineup. True story. Exists. Wow. Every Christmas.
Yeah. Big balls.
Yeah. Harry.
Cox. Fletcher Cox.
Harold Cox. Yes. Right.
Cox.
Yeah. If you want to search it, you can read about the German artist known as Harry Balz.
Amazing.
Who, Elon Musk.
You know how he knew it's the artist? Because over the O, there's that, not an umlaut. Oh, okay. It's just a little,
yep.
It's over the ball, over the O. That's where he has the, what do you call that thing above there?
Like the eccentric U.
Exactly. Thank you, Dawn. Sounds good coming out.
Wow, how about that? What's it called again?
Accentigue.
Oh, I saw them opening up for Constitutional Crisis in Philly. Ball party the other night.
I hate that thing. Kara Swisher said this on CNN.
Yeah, he changed his Twitter ID to like a juvenile joke earlier today. And then,
yeah, he likes that. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not offended. It's just stupid.
No, it's not. Funny.
Well, you've got it. I mean, I think the thing is, he's underneath all that. He's quite a crafty and strategic person. And so some of it is performative. Some of it is deep insecurity. Some of it is he likes the power.
I want to party with them.
He's funny and smart, right? Something Jake Tapper doesn't qualify on either front for. Jake Tapper is not funny.
It's just sour.
It's Jake Strapper. Come on, Nick. Let's get it straight. Yeah. Jake Tapper should never be allowed in Philadelphia ever again.
I'm not offended by it. It's just stupid.
Can you play a sense of humor?
Hey, listen.
This is the epitome of the mainstream media. Can you just play the very beginning one more time, Phil?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he changed his Twitter ID to like a juvenile joke earlier today, and then
he likes that.
I mean, I'm not offended. It just stupid.
Lady, you don't know that guy.
It's not stupid. It's hysterical.
What an elitist, detached.
It's just stupid.
D-bag.
I just like you know Jake. Jake Tapper's a guy. Deep down, at least I think he is.
Yeah.
Deep down, Jake Tapper's a guy who thinks that is hysterical. I don't care if you're 7. I don't care if you're 87.
Exactly.
Harry Balz is funny. It's funny.
No, I think there was a point in his life maybe where he did, Greg, but I think that's it's like they've neutered him or brainwashed him or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so
how do you not giggle at that? It's so just funny.
If we're tracking in the name of inclusion, I've got here on my board 3 different elements to the male genitalia. We've got Joy Reid and
Big Balz.
We've got Dana Bash and
Harry Balz.
And we've got Jimmy Fallon and
it burns his old droopy nuts.
Exactly right. And don't forget the sweaty balls from Saturday Night Live.
That's right. And by the way, Swedish meatballs too.
Yeah.
Phenomenal dish if you're serving up like a crock pot for like a gathering. Mm. The Swedish meatball, extremely underrated. Yeah.
Whatacrock.com.
Go to IKEA. I used to go to IKEA down there on Delaware Avenue and get the big bag of Swedish meatballs. And then you get the lingonberry.
Yeah, lingonberry.
You get the lingonberry sauce and the gravy. I'm telling you, that's a quality item, Clark.
Yeah. Delicious.
All right, let's go to Elon Musk since he was done trolling the media and then went to the Oval Office to discuss what they're doing there at Doge. Let's start here with cut 6, Phil, on Doge being as transparent as possible. Cut 6, go.
Mr. Musk, the White House says that you will identify and excuse yourself from any conflicts of interest that you may have. Does that mean that you are, in effect, policing yourself? What are the checks and balances that are in place to ensure that there is accountability and transparency?
Well, we actually are trying to be as transparent as possible. In fact, our actions, we post our actions to the Doge handle on X and to the Doge website. So all of our actions are maximally transparent. In fact, I don't think there's been, I don't know of a case where an organization has been more transparent than the Doge organization. So You know, and the kind of things we're doing are, I think, very, very simple and basic. They're not, we're, you know, what I mentioned, for example, about Treasury, just making sure that, that payments that go out, taxpayer money that goes out, is categorized correctly, that the payment is explained, that organizations on the do not pay list, which are, takes a lot to get there, that actually are not paid, which currently they are paid. These are not individual judgment decisions. These are about simply having sensible checks and balances in the system itself to ensure that taxpayer money is spent well. So it's got nothing to do with, like, say, a contract with some company of mine at all.
But if there is a conflict of interest when it comes to you yourself, for instance, you've received billions of dollars in federal contracts. When it comes to the Pentagon, for instance, which the president, I know, has directed you to look into.
Yeah.
Are you policing yourself in that? Is there any sort of accountability check and balance in place that would provide any transparency for the American people?
Well, all of our actions are fully public. So if you see anything, you say, like, wait a second, hey, Elon, that seems like maybe that's, you know, there's a conflict there. I don't like people are going to be shy about saying that. They'll say it immediately. You know?
Including you yourself.
Yes. But transparency is what builds trust, not simply somebody asserting trust, so not somebody saying they're trustworthy, but transparency, so you can see everything that's going on. And then you can see, am I doing something that benefits one of my companies or not? It's totally obvious.
Who knew that all these years ago it wasn't Trump that they feared, it was transparency that they feared, right?
Exactly.
That's right.
You know, yeah, democracy dies in dark. The Washington Post should change its headline to democracy dies in sunlight.
Yes.
That's what's happening, not in darkness.
Yes.
By the way, how about this? The richest man on earth, and he's still saving money by babysitting his own son, Lil X. I mean, just think of that. How much would it cost Elon Musk to get a babysitter for that
100%.
Kid?
100%. Yeah. Tony, I'm right in where he is now with the age of his son, and my son are the same age. And, like, with him, with his son running around and just, you know, spouting nonsense, I'm like, dude, I've been there. Every parent has been there. It's amazing.
Sticking his nose. I mean, yeah, the kid's picking his nose.
Exactly.
In the Oval Office.
Of course.
When he grows up one day and he's 7 feet tall, like, yep, Barron Trump, hey, man, you remember? You know how bad I am? I was so bad. I was picking my nose in the Oval Office, bro.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
You were just some kid out of college.
I'm surprised he didn't just say, Dad, I farted.
He was actually, for his age, he was actually quite well-mannered.
Yeah, 100% he was.
Yeah.
100%
for that age,
yes. Mm-hmm.
But he even mocked him, like, he stood like him. Yep. I mean, it was, oh my gosh.
Do you think Elon remembers the mom's name?
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
That's like asking NBA players,
yeah,
like just, you know, or Antonio Cromartie and all these
that's
guys.
Funny you say
and,
that, Bruno.
What's his name?
Yep.
In Miami.
Tyreek Hill.
Who's the guy? Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
You think he knows all 11
just
kids?
Just come call on, her man. Baby mama.
I said that earlier this morning off the air. I said, dude, if Elon Musk was an NFL or NBA player with 9 kids from 12 moms or 12 kids from 9 moms, I mean, the narrative around him. But, I mean, that's all he – and here's the thing, too, about it with him. You know, you're right. He could afford date. I mean, he's literally bringing in – and, oh, by the way, not that this really matters, but, you know, it's the same thing with Trump. He's not taking a salary for this. This is like a vanity project for the guy, right? I mean, he's the wealthiest guy on the planet. And if you pull out a Venn diagram, you've got Elon Musk, wealthiest guy on the planet. You've got the politicians that are making 3 times the average American salary. And then you have the rest of us that are making the average American salary. And he's trying to expose the Pelosi's of the world that are taking our tax dollars and getting wealthy on while he's ripping away from them to protect us. You're going to need multiple Venn diagrams to go through this.
You played this earlier, Nick, but I'm going to play it again.
Oh, this is great.
Looking into the government officials who have a high net worth while making just a salary in government. We discussed this earlier. Tony, want to get your take on this? This is cut 9, Phil. Go.
Right. Well, we do find it sort of rather odd that, you know, there are quite a few people in the bureaucracy who have ostensibly a salary of a few hundred thousand dollars, but somehow manage to accrue tens of millions of dollars in net worth while they are in that position, which is, you know, what happened to USAID. We're just curious as to where it came from. Maybe they're very good at investing, in which case we should take their investment advice, perhaps. But they seem to be mysteriously, they get wealthy. We don't know why. Where does it come from? And I think the reality is that they're getting wealthier to taxpayer expense. That's the honest truth of it. So, you know, we're looking at,
Oh, sorry.
Please don't bother me with such frivolity, okay?
By the way, Elon Musk is on the spectrum. He's a high-functioning, autistic guy, and he's brilliant. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. And I'm sure most of the geeks that he has working, the 19-year-olds that are being criticized now for being 19 years old, these people are all at the next level. Mm-hmm. They're thinking, you know, five steps ahead of the average person. So anybody insulting that or making fun of Elon Musk is a moron.
Yeah. So let me get this straight. So Barron Trump is what, Dawn? 18? 19?
Barron just
18
turned,
or 19.
He just turned 19.
Okay, he's 19. Greg, since you're in that area now, how old do you think little X is?
He's probably, I don't know, four?
Four.
Three or four.
All right, you got to be 35 to be president in the United States. So 16 years from now, Barron is your president and little X is the Veep.
Yeah, you're 100% right. You are 100%.
By the way, does anybody know little X's real name?
No.
Or, you know, it was like Lil John. I mean, when he grows up, what's his real name? It can't be Lil X all the time, can he?
Or
he could do the Super Bowl halftime next year as Lil X with Lil Nas X. And anybody named Lil Wayne, all the Lils can go out there. Yeah,
yeah.
Cut eight here, Phil. This is Elon Musk saying the people voted for major government reform, and that's what we're giving them. Roll it.
Your detractors, Mr. Musk.
What?
Including a lot of Democrats.
I have detractors?
You do, sir.
I don't believe it.
Say that you're orchestrating a hostile takeover of government and doing it in a non-transparent way. What's your response to that criticism?
Well, first of all, you couldn't ask for a stronger mandate from the public. The public voted, we have a majority of the public voting for President Trump. We've won the House, we won the Senate. The people voted for major government reform. There should be no doubt about that. That was on the campaign. The president spoke about that at every rally. The people voted for major government reform, and that's what people are going to get. They're going to get what they voted for. And a lot of times, people that don't get what they voted for, but in this presidency, they are going to get what they voted for. And that's what democracy is all about.
He articulated everything beautifully.
Let me just say this: reading faces and trying to get a vibe and a read on the room. I feel like I'm good at reading situations and people. Donald Trump looks incredibly relaxed right now.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at ease, and I think a lot of this, it's not just "I told you so," "I'm back," "I did it again," but you have Elon Musk right now stealing the headlines. And I've always said, to me, it amazes me that dude's energy level. And I've said this on the air many times. Like, does Donald Trump ever have a moment where it's 2 in the morning and he's sitting on the edge of his bed and he's like, oh, God, I mean, you know, I'm 78 years old. How much more can I do? I'm exhausted. And we're always amazed by the energy level. But Elon Musk is just taking so much of the flack right now. And whether it's diabolical and by design or if it's just Trump's like, you know what? I know what it's like.
Yeah.
Dealt with it for 9 years. You can take it. He's just sitting back and saying, you know what? I'll let him be the shield for now. And I don't blame him, right?
Yep.
There you go.
I don't know. I think that for Trump, he just is relieved that he has this time around, he has all the right people. He has assembled all
of
them. He knows that he gets the credit at the end of the day, and they're doing all this great work, and the details, you know, he's experienced enough in the media to know that this is too big for any media entity, and because of social media, that it's not going to pierce through the lamestream media lies.
And he also doesn't have to be as hands-on and be a micromanager. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, like, Tony, we always talk about this. There's, like, head coaches in the NFL that meddle and they get involved in everything. And then there's kind of, like, the CEO-type head coach that just oversees everything because he trusts his staff to get the job done. That's what it feels like this time around with Trump.
Yeah, and also...
And you're right. And the thing about this whole... This is 4:30 in the afternoon when he has got Musk inside the Oval Office with all the media. Then he does another, and then 10:30 at night, he's back there with Fogel back in the Oval Office again. And this guy's 78. And he's had more news conferences in the first 3 weeks than Biden did in 4 years. And so you want to talk about transparency. He takes questions. He doesn't have note cards. So, again, I don't want to keep bashing Biden. We already know what he didn't do. But the fact that this guy was quiet, and they're still talking about him not being cognitively there. I'm talking about Trump. The media is still saying that this guy's not all there. Are you serious? How many 78-year-old people in the media could keep up with Trump? None.
Yes, true. By the way, Leanne Grimes, the mother of X, she did post.
Yes.
She did post. Somebody had posted this to her Twitter account or social media, and she thanked the person and said, "Oh, thank you for. I didn't see this, but she says her son should not be in public like this. I did not see this. Thank you for alerting me, but I'm glad he was polite."
He had a kid with Leanne Rimes?
3 kids.
No, that's not Leanne. No. Her name is
Leanne Grimes.
Her name is
Leanne Grimes.
Grimes is her stage name. Her real name is Claire Elise Boucher, Canadian singer.
Oh.
She only goes as Grimes.
Yeah.
She doesn't go as Leanne. Leanne Grimes is somebody else.
Oh, so that's not Leanne Rimes, the old country singer.
No. Grimes.
No, it's Grimes.
Okay.
She has one name, you know.
Okay.
You know, sort of like Prince, sort of like Seal, who we saw in the Super Bowl commercial.
Grimes is a 36-year-old singer.
Oh, is she
from Canada?
Okay, so we have a Leanne Grimes and a Leanne Rimes, both of whom sing.
Yes.
Okay.
But Grimes' last name is Boucher.
Who's on
and
first?
I think she played for the Canadians back when they were good.
Well, Boucher was also a goaltender for the Flyers.
Who cares?
Oh, the great Brian Boucher.
Who cares?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's talk about Don mentioned this earlier about how there's a limestone mine in PA that they referenced yesterday.
Iron Mountain.
Yes.
Iron Mountain.
Also Butler County.
It all adds up now, folks.
So
all comes back to Butler, doesn't it? Hey, Josh Shapiro, do you know about that mine in Butler, Pennsylvania, while you were keeping the Secret Service from protecting the president and trying to run for president?
Yeah.
Yourself?
Roll cut 27. Sorry. Roll cut 27, Phil.
And then we were told, this is actually, I think, a great anecdote, because we were told that the most number of people that could retire possibly in a month is 10,000. We're like, well, why is that? Well, because all the retirement paperwork is manual on paper. It's manually calculated, then written down on a piece of paper. Then it goes down a mine. And I'm like, what do you mean a mine? Like, yeah, there's a limestone mine where we store all the retirement paperwork. You look at a picture of this mine. We'll post some pictures afterwards. And this mine looks like something out of the 50s because it was started in 1955. So it looks like it's like a time warp. And then the limiting factor is the speed at which the mine shaft elevator can move determines how many people can retire from the federal government. And the elevator breaks down and then nobody can retire.
This is unbelievable.
You just when you think we've become so advanced as a society, you know, we saw how supply chains could be disrupted during the pandemic. Now an elevator shaft could determine the amount of people that are able to retire in a year.
I think the last time I was audited by the IRS, not the IRA, the IRS, I think my tax returns are in that cave. Joe Biden was keeping him in his garage in Delaware right next to his Corvette. Everybody else's records are in a mine in Pennsylvania.
So that is Butler County, huh?
Because when I
saw this story came out last night, and I was actually seeing some of the pictures of the down below, I did a quick search, and there's a handful of Iron Mountains throughout Pennsylvania. I actually wanted to find out what city this is actually in. So I'm assuming now, do we know where in Butler County
is? There have been stories on this.
Iron Mountain, right? Isn't it called Iron Mountain?
Right.
Yeah. Iron Mountain, and it actually was, they started this in the 1960s, actually. They started, you know, that's when they, because it was an old, you know, it was old mining, obviously, area, and then they
Wait a minute, did Joe Biden mine there back in the days when he was in Scranton as coal miner Joe?
Quick drive from Scranton to Butler. Especially in a Corvette.
So now what do they keep down there? Records?
Yeah, that's where the retirement documents go. It's all handwritten or typed on paper in a file.
So it's not, the point is, Elon is saying it's not computerized. This is the most antiquated system.
Exactly.
Right.
And the cost of this thing yearly, to have to, we have to pay the rent for it. It's to the people who own it. It's crazy.
Well, here's what we do.
They have to take this elevator shaft, and when that breaks,
yep.
And all these people work like 230 feet down
yep.
in the ground.
Send Doge on that elevator, get all the files, bring them back up, and then stick it in the cloud. Isn't that what we say? Where's the cloud at?
Well, that's what we reported earlier this week, Nick, when you had your Super Bowl flu.
Thoughts and prayer. By the way, did you have Paxlovid? What were you on? People are still asking. Nick.
I actually wrapped up my 3-day dosage of Paxlovid yesterday, thanks to the great Dawn Stenson.
Nick takes so much medical advice from Dawn.
Yeah,
like it's unbelievable. Dawn is like my heart check. Basically
like his personal nurse.
Dawn is like his whisperer.
Yep.
Dawn is like, you need to do this, and Nick hops too. He does. He's like, whatever you say, Mrs. Enslin, whatever you say.
I think Dawn should do a side business, Dawn MD.
Yeah.
You know, and then you call her for meds, whatever you need. Yeah. What would you prescribe right now?
Dawn's got a telehealth portal on the side.
By the way, but what I was going to say was that they, you know, everybody, the Washington Post was saying that Elon Musk and Doge are trying to replace workers with computers. And like, this is the end of workers. And this is his ultimate goal. But like, when you look at this and we have the video of the mind, you have the video, Phil, can you roll it?
It supports many of our high security customers.
It's like the Batcave.
Yeah.
Look at that.
So it's Iron Mountain. This is Butler County. And there, I found this thing, and this was for federal workers. They talked about how the retirement backlog, they've been talking about this for years, how much that the backlog, you know, was at any given point is at about 25,000+. So in other words, because they have the backlog, because they have to go on this old elevator shaft of this old limestone mine in Iron Mountain, you know, in PA. And they have to go up and down with the papers.
The
hard copy, like Nick Cale with all of his printed out, you know, hard copy of his big tapes.
Right.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
All of his tablets. Can you imagine, like, if you didn't computerize anything?
Yep.
That's what they're doing.
But let me throw the cold water on this. Do we really believe, regardless if it's our guy, that the federal government does not have a digital version of this?
They don't.
I mean, do we really believe that? I mean, so you're telling me that if a foreign adversary knew, and they do because it's public knowledge where this Iron Mountain is, if they wanted to, attack this place and blow it to smithereens, the federal government will have no records of any federal employee that retired. I find that hard to believe.
They're saying this is down there. You have nearly 1,000 people who run this thing. By the way, it costs a fortune. And it's in Boyers, Pennsylvania, which is Butler County. Okay. Boyers. It was in Butler County, formerly owned by U.S. Steel. It all comes back to U.S. Steel as well when we talk about tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
From 1902 to 1952. So then it was bought by a Boston company that now rents it or leases it to the federal government, to the Office of Personnel Management, OPM, works with the federal agency, Human Resources, and they process the retirement paperwork. So they say they do house some data centers, but this whole system is on paper.
I think we need to find out now what we're paying per month to lease this space.
Simple answer. Just get these 19-year-old kids to go down there, and in an hour they'll have it all. They'll have it all encrypted.
Yeah, send little X down there. He'll grab a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, put it on hard drives. By the way, Grimes, if she's worried about, and now of course all the left-wing media is jumping on Grimes, being mad that the father of her child is taking care of him and watching and nurturing him while she's out doing some techno thing on X, on a real X, not little X, her son. Come on, man.
Elon got custody. It was a bitter custody battle. I'm looking up the
So why is she worried about the son who's going to be taken? And by the way, I think he took care of her, too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, where's Kai? Can't Kai Trump babysit little X for a little bit?
Busy winning golf tournaments. Iron Mountain paying $39 million for privately held National Underground. So we're paying a fortune.
I'd do it for a million. I go down there and I get Robin down there. Robin's got papers everywhere. She puts them. I still have tax returns from 20 years ago sitting in those banker's boxes.
Yeah, I love those.
You know,
boxes.
I still keep that stuff.
Yeah.
You like the banker box?
I love those boxes. Yeah, lawyers.
Not Banker's Club.
Well. No,
Banker's Club. That's a cheap one.
Shelf.
Cut 31 here. Elon Musk on teaching basic bookkeeping practices to the Treasury Department.
Novel concept.
Are you effing kidding me?
Right.
Roll this. Cut 31.
Yeah, I think you mean the Treasury Department as opposed to Treasury bills.
You also referenced Treasuries on Air Force One the other night.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, really the first order of business is to make sure we're actually collecting. Sorry for this. I thought my son might enjoy this, but he's sticking his fingers in my ears and stuff. So it's been hard to hear sometimes. Hey, stop that. the stuff we're doing with the Treasury Department is so basic that you can't believe it doesn't exist already.
Oh, my God.
So for example, like I mentioned, just making sure that when a payment goes out, it has to have a payment categorization code. It's like, what type of payment is this? You can't just leave the field blank. Currently, many payments, the field is left blank. And you have to describe what's the payment for. So basic rationalization also is left blank. So this is why the Pentagon...
No.
Finances for dummies.
Yep.
A decade ago, maybe. Ever? Really? And we want to... Just in order to actually pass audits, you have to have financial information that allows you to trace the payments. You know, and once in a while, the Treasury has to pause payments if it thinks the payment is going to a fraudulent organization. If a company or organization is on a do not pay list, we should not pay it. I'm sure you would agree. Like, if it's quite hard to get on that payment, the do not pay list, it means that this is someone that is like dead people, terrorists, known fraudsters. That kind of thing, we should not pay them.
Wow.
I mean, he's teaching the Treasury Department what I'm teaching my daughters right now about how to manage their wallet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
85,000 IRS employees, and they can't go down there and get that paperwork and figure out who's who?
Yeah, but they can jack me up for $600 on Venmo? You kidding me?
Exactly.
This is the largest.
By the way,
did
you see this? This story just in, this is Alex Bolton. Not Nick Bolton or the staff writer at The Hill. Republican sources tell me that special government employee Elon Musk wearing a MAGA hat in the Oval Office appears to violate the Hatch Act.
Oh,
so now Elon Musk is violating the Hatch Act.
I haven't heard the Hatch Act since Karine Jean-Pierre would reiterate that.
So that's what they got.
Have we moved on from constitutional crisis to the Hatch Act?
Well, that's Don has a great point. That's what they, out of everything, you know, he taught the media, he sent the media to school yesterday with like what's going on, and they were focused on his child and his hat.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, that's
because
it.
They're not going to report on the biggest scandal in United States history, which is this. And they're uncovering this.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you have this 1.7 million square foot former limestone mine, right?
Yep.
And we're paying all this money to lease it out. We're paying 1,000 people to run the thing and take one elevator up and down 230 feet. It's like they're looking for a way to create a bureaucracy by which they want to make sure that there's no computer like proof where you can look up where the money is going.
It's unbelievable. Right. It's unbelievable.
Whoa. I mean, imagine having
They could have had the world's biggest Foreman Mills down there.
Yeah. It's seriously.
Foreman Mills!
Yeah. Imagine, you know, things like the do not pay list. I mean, to get on that in the federal government where we just light cash on fire at terrorists, known fraudsters, and whoever else that he mentioned. I mean, my God, you know, I as somebody who bets sports, I have a do not bet list. You know, I put the Bengals on the do not bet list. They never cover. This is just basic financial stuff that we are it's basically a reprogramming session that Elon Musk and his little brainiac psycho whiz kids are basically educating all of these career hacks, whoever survived the Doge cuts.
There, I said this earlier. There, he's going in there and explaining to the press and America, the American people, many of which get it, a new way to do things. Say, hey, you know what? What we've been doing for all these years ain't working. There's a way to simplify this. Like, let's get this into the 21st century.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like let's be more efficient. It's what every business does. Every single one.
You know, Republicans.
Look for redundancy. Yeah.
Whether it's Trump, yep. Elon Musk, or, you know, even locally, you go like a guy like Dave McCormick. Republicans have figured out that some business executives and those that have had successful business careers that have actually known what it's like to pay people and process payroll and things like that can actually do this job relatively well. And the Democrats are still resistant to that idea, right?
Yeah.
They just want to keep using the same old crusty career politicians.
Will they be out there today screaming again? Because it's every single day now. What will they be screaming about today?
Thank you for that. Thank you for that transition, Tony Bruno, because
that's what I do. I mean, that's why I'm here. It's called, you know, you can't teach this.
Yeah, I know.
You can't teach this kind of next level.
He is transitioning. Look, he's got Kelly. He's got Midnight Green on the top, and then Red and White on the middle.
And then Phillies pitchers and catchers, yeah. Baby.
Yeah. This is Cut 20. This is Representative Maxine Dexter from Oregon.
Not Maxine Walsh.
Oh yeah, she's a beauty. Huh? She's a beauty.
She said this about Donald Trump. Roll it.
I've been told I have 30 seconds, so I am going to tell you that we do have to, I don't swear in public very well, but we have to Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure your kids will love their gray-haired young mother dropping F-bombs.
Yeah, right.
They get mad when Trump says something critical of somebody,
yeah.
But they're all out there dropping F-bombs in public and cheering like a bunch of morons.
She also went on to say this.
We want to hit that hard.
Absolutely.
By the way, if you've ever wondered what it's like to live in Bluebell, there's about 75 of those ladies in my neighborhood.
This is cut.
That's my old neighborhood up there, Nick.
You're damn right.
This is cut 28. These Democrat voters sing an anti-Elon Musk song to protest Doge.
Oh, this is great.
Would you like to hear this guys? Yeah. For all of you,
absolutely.
Maybe
absolutely.
A good way to end the cut sheet here. This is cut. Yeah, roll it, Phil.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Tell me.
Which side are you on? From dawn to dusk.
Oh, no, that's dusk to dawn. Come on, man.
Which side are you on?
God, are they talking about you?
Yes. Wow.
Which side are you on?
Which side are you on, baby?
For our unions, he wants us all to fail. To bow to him, but we want
hear it.
Him in
Harold
jail.
Ball's retirement center. Keep our folks singing.
Harry Ball.
Which side are you on?
Miguel LZ. With the umlaut.
Oh, please.
Which side are you on?
Yeah, we're on the side
which
of
side
Doge.
Are you on?
Oh, my Lord.
I'm on the side. I'm on the side of sanity.
I'm on the side. I'm on the side of a missile hitting these get-togethers. But that again, I don't want to be, marked for violent speech.
Right.
But I think everybody would like to see a well-placed Scud missile right there.
Look, I haven't heard the Scud missile in years, Tom. It's a good military reference.
Which side are you on?
You are. I'm not going to be able to get that out of my head now.
You know, you just got to imagine Fetterman sitting around somewhere in his hooded sweatshirt saying, "Ah, Christ, we're done for a long time, aren't we?"
Yeah.
Betterman's like, "Yeah, well, that's going to win over normal straight white men."
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
I mean, look, yeah. Look, I'm all for a good protest song, but that.
Oh, yeah, me too.
That ain't it. Sorry, guys.
No.
A little bit more. A little bit more, Phil, just to end.
Yeah, give me
just
that to end, just to come end. On. Will I be able to get that out of my head today?
The Union or a scabby Musk bloodhound?
What?
Wow.
Are you on?
Oh,
which side are you on?
Tell me.
Which side are you on?
On which
Which side are you on? Don't take that government buyout. Don't listen to Trump's lies. Us workers haven't got a chance unless we organize. Oh, which side?
By the way, just a little hat tip here. If you're going to sing like a group, the woman at the podium needs to back off a little bit so everybody can hear. So we don't have to hear you sing the entire.
You know, if they wanted to make themselves useful as unionized government employees, shouldn't they go down to that mine, iron mine, and just start separating papers and making themselves useful? Take the buyout, go down there, get a little OT. You know, put it on your union bill because, you know, again, I have nothing with unions. I'm in two unions. So this is not a union thing.
Yeah.
All they care about is the union gets greased when these people keep their jobs. So that's what this is all about. These are union government workers who have a right to be in a union, but they're crying because their union bosses are mad that their gravy train's coming to an end when these people are no longer employed. That's what
really
this is all about.
Exactly.
Yes, indeed. You know what? Send them down that elevator shaft, Tone, and then seal off the oxygen.
I think we should have them rappel down.
Yeah.
You know, like when you have the rope, like Tom Cruise does in the Mission Impossible movies.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good work out of you. All right, Bruno's going to stick around into the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get a Dawn Big 3.
I'm ready to go all day. There's just too much to talk about. I don't want the cut sheet to end.
Exactly.
This
right.
is the never-ending cut sheet.
It's true.
It is.
It's true.
We
it's
just
also wanted... the never-ending segment that we haven't broken an hour.
We just want it to keep going on, right? What side are you on?
I don't want it to end.
Who's the program director on this radio station? He needs to be...
I don't know. I think he's, taking a snow day. He's taking a snow day today.
All right. Bring it. Yeah, we do.
All right, 8 o'clock hour. That side is over. We'll be on the other side, the 9 o'clock hour, but the 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or a grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. 9 o'clock hour coming up next here on Kale & Company.
Kitchen Magic, Dawn. Talk to us about Kitchen Magic.
Oh, I got magic in my kitchen. Yes, I do. I love Kitchen Magic, and you know, they're local. So when I talk about their kitchen cabinets, for example, with Kitchen Magic, it's all in-house work and local employer. KitchenMagic.com is what you want to check out, from those custom cabinets to the countertops to the all-important backsplashes. You want to check out Kitchen Magic because trust is everything. You know, for 45 years, Kitchen Magic has been building that reputation for really transforming kitchens with precision and care. And they get the job done fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without all that hassle. You can trust the name your neighbors have been relying on for decades. Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation. KitchenMagic.com. Cook up something extraordinary. Kitchen Magic. KitchenMagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.